strength. You're listening to Heart, Mind, and Strength with Catholic psychotherapist and author Dr. Gregory Popcheck and his wife and co-author Lisa Popcheck. Every weekday at this time, Greg, Lisa, and friends help you find faith-filled answers to questions about marriage, parenting, and the people who drive you nuts. So join us for the next hour as we explore how to love and serve the Lord with our whole heart, mind, and strength. Love you, love in my heart, mind, and strength.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to Heart, Mind, and Strength. I'm Dr. Gregory Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And we have a great show planned for you this hour. We're going to be talking with you, our favorite guests in the whole wide world. Our toll-free number is 877-573-7825. Once again, that number to join the conversation is 877-573-7825. In addition to talking with you, we've got lots of other stuff going on here. At the top of the show, Lisa and I are going to be unpacking a new report that takes a look at what some are calling the dark underbelly of cohabitation. Just how children are affected when their moms and dads aren't married to each other. We'll find out more about that in this first segment. At the end of the hour, though, Wadeen Koenig-Bricker will be joining us for her Smells and Bells segment. Today, Wadeen takes a look at Advent, and in particular, Advent wreaths and what you need to do to get ready for Advent, which is upon us. The first Sunday of Advent is coming up this weekend.
What better time to do this particular segment than right before Advent starts?
Yeah, you know, usually we don't do like Advent segments until like the third or fourth week.
I think there was a year Rachel Watkins pulled one of those out. Like, if you haven't lit the Advent wreath,
it was like Epiphany or something we were talking about.
Hey, you know, there are those of us who are behind, and frankly, this year I am behind because last year we were really, really blessed because we were out. Excuse me, baby's not asleep yet. Just talking in the microphone. Go to sleep, sweetheart. Last year, we were blessed enough to be up in our Stations of the Cross stations in Buffalo right around the Advent season, and I was able to pick up all our Advent candles from that great Catholic bookstore that was there at the time. And this year, here we are in Steubenville, Ohio, and I am finding the toughest time finding Advent candles.
I don't get it. I mean, you go to a candle store, you'd think that, you know, okay, I'm a candlemonger, or whatever they call candle sales people. I'm a candlemonger. I'm coming up on a big candle season here. I want to have pink and purple candles in my store.
And I can't find them.
What
up? It's driving me crazy. In Steubenville, Ohio, I can't find Advent candles. So now I've got to like put in an overnight shipping order for Advent candles from one of the great Catholic bookstores that are out there.
But we'll find them. We will track them down.
I don't know. I think
like
that awesome Catholic bookstore in Buffalo should send me some for talking about how great they are all the time.
They would if you'd mentioned their name, but we don't remember their name.
I'm so sorry, but they rocked. And what I do remember is they said, "We're a little farther away than you want to drive, but we're worth going to." And I really thought they were worth going to. Their merchandise was fantastic.
So if you're out there in that Buffalo area, go find that bookstore and buy your candles from them. They're good people.
They are, and you need those Advent candles.
Whatever
get them
whatever that bookstore's
on
name is.
By Sunday.
Sunday, again.
Wadeen will tell us how to do that, and a whole lot more about Advent at the end of the hour.
All right. Kara's typing something on the... Never mind.
Jesus, me asking for Advent candles is called payola and it's against the law. I don't know if that's true. I see all these nighttime guys going, "Boy, I really love Cheez-Its." Or I
exactly.
You know, and suddenly they get 15 pairs of Nike shoes. I just said I need them. It's okay.
Anyway, whatever. moving right along here.
I was kidding anyway, so we can let it all go.
That's right. Now I'm all completely famished. I have no idea what I'm going to say now.
Including using Yiddish words on the Catholic radio
I am completely
show.
Famished.
So there you go.
All right. Well let's start with a prayer.
Get this show started. We need a little prayer.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence this hour, and we thank you and praise you for the opportunity you are giving us to spend this time with you. And with all the good people who are tuning in right now, Lord, we thank you for giving us this chance to spend this hour with you. And we thank you for allowing this hour to be a time of blessing for all of those who are tuning in. And we ask, Lord, that you would be with those who have asked for our prayers in a special way, those who have participated in the Heart, Mind, and Strength Marriage, Family, and Personal Prayer List, and all of those who are tuning in right now and are struggling in some area of their life or relationships. Because, Lord, each and every one of us does struggle. We know that we are to become as perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect, that is, perfect in love, and yet so often we reach down into our hearts and we find that that cupboard is bare and there is no love left to share. That we dig deep down into ourselves and we find that all of our strength is gone. There is just nothing left to give. And in those times, it's very easy to just throw up our hands and give up, to give in to the temptation to despair, or to become hopeless, or to feel like there is simply no way through. In those times, Lord, help us to remember that we do not rely on our own strength, but we rely on you and your grace to carry us through. And so now, Lord, in this hour, we rededicate ourselves to you and to the mission you have called us to take up. And we ask you to come more fully into our hearts, that our hearts may beat with the fire of your love. We ask you to fill our minds with the peace that surpasses all understanding, that we might be able to hear your voice and know your will. And we ask you to strengthen us in your grace, that we might have the courage and fortitude to move forward step by step, walking the path that leads to the abundant life. We ask all of this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Mary, seat of wisdom.
Please, Mother, pray for us.
All right, before we unpack this study, though, it's time for Living in the Word, where we take a look at a verse from Scripture that reminds us of God's faithfulness and our response. This week's Living in the Word comes to us from Psalm 121, verses 5 and 6. The Lord is your guardian. The Lord is your shade. He is beside you at your right hand. The sun shall not harm you by day, nor the moon at night. Wherever you are, whatever time it is in your life, in your day, God is present to you. He is with you. He is carrying you through those dark times. He is taking you through those times where you feel like you are being blasted from all sides. God is present. I'm going to ask you to commit this verse to memory so that God's word can be a comfort to you in your time of need. Again, it's Psalm 121. Verses 5 and 6. The Lord is your guardian. The Lord is your shade. He is beside you at your right hand. The sun shall not harm you by day, nor the moon at night. Amen. Well, you know, in this first segment here, I really wanted to take a look at an important study that looks at, the what we're calling the soft under or the dark underbelly, excuse me, of cohabitation, and it really unpacks some pretty scary stuff. There is existing data on child abuse in America that takes a look at how many children are hurt in different environments, and here's the summary, and it's pretty shocking. According to the American Academy of Pediatrics, children living in households with unrelated adults, so cohabitating parents, are nearly 50 times as likely to die of inflicted injuries as children living with two biological parents. 50 times. Children living in cohabitating families are at higher risk of physical or sexual assault than children living with two biological or adoptive parents, according to several studies that came out of the University of New Hampshire's Crimes Against Children Research Center. Girls.
And that is fascinating, because I do need to underline that, because it says that that is true, that they're at higher risk of physical or sexual assault than children living with two biological or adoptive parents. And often you get the sense that it's just some biological connection that makes parents not abuse their child. And when you lose that biological connection, then automatically that ups the ante in terms of abuse. And they're saying, no, if you have two committed parents who are adoptive parents together, but they're married and they have made a commitment to adopt this child, their commitment is the same, and their ability to ward off that abusive tendency is the same as a biological parent, as opposed to having a biological parent and then bringing in a cohabitating adult into the family. That's a very significant thing to underline.
So recapping here, children who live in cohabitating households are 50 times as likely to die of inflicted injuries through abuse as children living with their biological parents who are married to each other. Children living in step families or single parents are a higher risk of physical or sexual assault than children living with both of their biological married parents or adoptive parents who are married to each other. Girls whose parents divorce are at a significantly higher risk of sexual assault whether they live with their mother or their father because those parents eventually will often cohabitate. The point here is that when we talk about these alternative family arrangements, you know, often the conversation goes as far as, well, why should we make laws restricting what two consenting adults do behind closed doors? It's because these relationships are not about what two consenting adults do behind closed doors. This is about what are the building blocks of civilization. What are the environments that our future generation will be raised in? And when we do not make laws that protect the sanctity of marriage, we are not protecting the safety of the next generation of citizens. And so there is no more important battle to fight than the battle that protects marriage, because that is what ultimately protects children. And we find that 30 years ago, nearly 80% of America's children lived with both parents. They lived with their married parents. Now, only about 60% do. Of all families with children, nearly 29% are now one-parent families, up from 17% in 1977. So you've got this huge potential for a sharp increase in households with a potential for instability, and the likelihood that adults and children who reside in them are not going to have any kind of biological tie to each other.
No, and of course, we have a lot of listeners out there who are walking down this road and trying to do their best as single parents. And we're not saying that if you're a single parent, you're a bad person. What we're saying is if you're a single parent, don't bring in somebody else into your household that you don't have a marital commitment to and that is not committed fully and utterly to your child. That has to be underlined. It can't be, well, she's moving out of the house in 7, 8 years or 5 years or 4 years or whatever it is, so I just want to be happy, and we can just put up with him not getting along with my kids very well right now, or her getting along with my kids very well right now, because they'll be gone soon and I have to have a life too. You've got to think about the danger level to your child. We've seen this, unfortunately, Greg, this week in the Baby Grace case. I mean, here we have this little girl who washes up on the shore. They find her body, and her father had no idea what had happened to her. Her grandmother had no idea what had happened to her. Her mother reports her as being taken away by a social worker to her father to cover stuff up. And what does it end up being? The live-in boyfriend, who is now, you know, attempted suicide and said, oh, it's not my wife's fault. It's, you know, she shouldn't be found guilty for my sins. I got out of control and drown this child after I beat her. We've got to look at the people we're bringing into our homes. They can't just make us feel warm and squishy and happy and feel like we have somebody to keep us from being lonely. Once we're parents, we owe our children their safety, and we have to be really mature and really careful about who we're dating and who we're bringing into our children's lives.
Well, and as a society, we have an obligation to our children to protect marriage and to assert that marriage is a distinct and important institution. And when you're standing around the water cooler, or when you go to different meetings and you start to have these conversations about alternative families, and the conversation is just focusing on, well, I don't think it's fair that the government should put restrictions on who can love each other. You need to step up and say, that's not what this is about. This is about the fact that children who do not grow up in married households are 50 times more likely to die of domestic violence than children who grow up in married households. And you need to challenge those people by saying, so you are in favor of having a 50-time higher rate of death in households than you, because you want to have a culture of adult desire rather than a culture of life.
And we really have to start thinking about what we need to do. We always have to have in the forefront of our minds What do we have to do to protect the gift that our children are? How do we keep them safe? Certainly, if you're in a married relationship and an intact family with kids, that always has to be your primary thought. Every time you hire a babysitter, every time you send them out to school, every time you send them out to play. All the more so, a million times over, if you're a single parent trying to get your life together and suddenly you're in the dating scene, it's not just you dating that person, it's your whole family.
And I want to send a special message out to parents of older children as well, because the temptation for cohabiting is extraordinarily strong, because that's the prevailing moray in the culture these days, right? But you need to be sending that message to your kids that this is not just about what they want to do. This is about the security of your grandchildren, and this is about the security of their futures, and that you're not just going to cast a casual eye over their decision to cohabit, because they are not just endangering their souls, which they are, by the way. They are endangering the children that they will bring into your family. And you need to be clear with them about this. I know too many parents who are afraid to rock the boat. It's like, oh, well, you know, I'm just not sure what to say. You need to insist that your children deserve better and your grandchildren deserve better than what cohabitation can provide for them. All right, well, that's enough of this. We need to take a break right now. But when we come back, we are taking your calls about any topic that's weighing heavily on your heart, troubling your mind, or sapping your strength. If you're struggling to be strong in your faith in your own personal life, or in any aspect of your life, whether it comes to work, or it comes to your relationships with the people in your community, or it comes to relationships with people in your extended family, with your adult kids, if you're having parenting questions about, you know, dealing with the kids that are coming up, and you want to know how to raise them in a way that enable them to own their faith, or you've got questions in your own marriage that are making you wonder whether it's going to last over the long haul, we want to help you sort that all out and find faith-filled answers to the difficult questions you are experiencing. Give us a call. It's toll-free, 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. Our email address
is radio@exceptionalmarriages.com.
Stick around. More after this.
Now, more than ever, lay men and women are being called to active ministry within the church. At Detroit Sacred Heart Major Seminary, future leaders are being formed today through exciting diploma and degree programs in theology and pastoral ministry. And the need in the church is great. Our graduates serve as catechists, lay evangelists, youth and music ministers, to name just a few. But studying at Sacred Heart is more than academics. Spiritual formation is part of all pastoral ministry programs, so your soul is inspired as well as your mind. Generous financial aid is available to help fund your education. Evening and satellite courses fit your busy schedule. And Sacred Heart Secured Campus is easy to reach from all parts of Metro Detroit. Hurry though, new student enrollment for winter term ends December 15th. Classes start January 7th. Call Sacred Heart today, 313-883-8520. That's 313-883-8520.
This is today's business proverb. When making promises to customers, are you careful to promise only what you can deliver? Here's author and business consultant Steve Marr.
King Solomon wrote, "It is better that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay." Customers will rightly expect us to deliver everything we promised. In the heat of trying to win a customer, we may be tempted to stretch the truth and make a promise. If we or our company fail to follow through, we will lose credibility and ultimately the customer we just worked hard to win. Keep your credibility intact by promising only what you will deliver.
You can rely on Steve Marr's business experience and biblical grounding for sound professional advice. Read Steve's comments on current business news and other issues in numerous articles on our website. Go to businessproverbs.com and click on articles. That's businessproverbs.com.
To Heart, Mind, and Strength. I'm your host, Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Gregory Popchak, and we're taking your calls right now. Our toll-free number is 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. 7825. Our email address
is radio@exceptionalmarriages.com.
All right, with that, let's go to the phones. Lisa, who's up?
Right now, Greg, we're going to Sarah in New York.
Hey there, Sarah. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure thing. What's up?
Well, I've been married for 2 years, and my husband is, I guess what you call a cradle Catholic, and I myself haven't been the greatest practicing Catholic, but I'm coming into my faith now. I mean, after listening to your radio and just, I don't know, I'm coming back to the church, and I'm feeling excited about it.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. And my husband is not so much.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to start a family, and I want a marriage like yours, to be honest, and I want to raise a beautiful Catholic family, but I need his help.
Sure.
I want to encourage him, you know, to...
Well, what are the ways that you're trying to share your faith with your husband presently, and what kind of reaction are you getting?
Right now, I just want him to attend Mass with me. I pray by myself, and I would love to have him pray with me, but I'm afraid, and I hate to say that I'm afraid of my husband, but I'm afraid of the reaction that I'm going to get from him.
Why are you afraid? I mean, is he demonstrating in some context that he can't be trusted with this, or is this just your own
security? That's not it at all. I'm afraid of what his reaction is going to be. I really haven't. I've just asked him to attend Mass with me.
And what was his reaction when you said that to him?
He comes with me.
Okay, so you're just feeling really shy and tenuous about this whole thing, but he's actually coming with you to Mass because he loves you enough to do that. So I really want you to think. I want you to go to your gut because there's this little, I can hear the butterflies in your stomach right now.
I
Where is all this bashfulness about asking him to pray with you coming from? Be honest. Get real. Think about what's going on in your gut and tell me why you don't want to ask him.
I'm afraid he's going to think I'm silly. I don't know.
Has he said anything remotely degrading to you when you ask him to go to Mass?
No, absolutely not. I don't know. I just have this fear. Maybe this is some other problem I have.
It sounds like it's probably old voices in your head from somebody else who, you know, some aunt or uncle or father or mother or somebody who thought, you know, being too spiritual was, you know, not the right thing to do and you should keep it close to the vest and not talk about it and it wasn't out there.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, we were all raised with that don't talk about politics, religion, or, you know, money kind of thing. And so we're afraid to talk about our faith with the people who are most important to share that with. And I think, you know, I want to hear what Greg's going to say on this, but I think that you really need to get down on your knees and ask the Holy Spirit to give you the courage to do this, because you're chipping yourself out of the most intimate relationship you can have with your husband, which is a prayer relationship, and your intimate sexual relationship can only blossom in the face of a solid prayer relationship with your husband. You're jipping him out of getting to know his God better, so Satan's trying to steal that from him by, you know, giving you a serious case of shyness. And you're jipping your future kids out of a really godly dad by not kind of starting to present this to your husband and stepping up to the plate on this.
So my point, I think, is that I want to add to what Lisa is just saying here. I agree with everything that she's saying, and I think that by praying for the courage that you need and the fortitude that you need to address this, certainly the Holy Spirit will help you with this and help you overcome the fear that you're experiencing. I'm thrilled to hear that he's willing to go to Mass with you. That's wonderful. What I would like you to do is to just sit down with him and have some conversations about it and say, you know, I don't know how you're going to feel about this. I'm a little nervous about talking about it myself. But, I'm really starting to feel the tug on my heart to be more involved in our faith. And I'd really love to share it with you. I don't want to overwhelm you, but I'd like to share it with you and go into it step at a time with you. And I really love that you've been going to Mass with me. Maybe we could try to do some prayers at home, too. Or maybe we could, you know, try to you know, take have an Advent wreath this year and say some prayers over that. And, you know, just try to bring some devotions into our home so that when we have children, we're raising them in a faithful home and we can pass this tradition on to them as well.
Let me ask you, Sarah, when you talk about having children with him and starting a family, have you talked about how you want to raise them in the faith yet with him at all?
And that's
and
what
what's he saying to you?
He doesn't really give a response. Like I'll say, I want our kids to be raised Catholic. I want them to look at their dad and you know. And I'm sorry, I'm getting a little nervous. But
that's
he kind of
you don't have to be nervous.
He doesn't actually answer me. He kind of just nods and. But he's the kind of guy where I know I have to put things in his brain and then he thinks about them. So.
Well, exactly. You have to give, I mean, nobody comes to a deep relationship with Christ in, you know, except maybe Paul getting knocked off his horse, in like 3 seconds by a wife mentioning it. You know, you just don't get that, you know, total conversion when your wife says, honey, I think it would be a really, really good idea if you were a completely faithful man and raised our children in a godly way. Oh, okay, honey, I've totally got that now. You do need to let him stew with it and sit with it and let the Holy Spirit work in his heart, because you can only plant the seeds. The Holy Spirit's going to do the conversion. But some of the words that I'd like to see you get away from, because he was raised in the Catholic faith and it just sat there for him. He kind of got that early inoculation to kind of a bland faith that never really took off and never really took root. And so I'd like you to stop saying to him, I want the kids to be raised Catholic. Because in his mind,
yeah,
the picture
right.
is coming up of, oh, well, of course she does. You know, we'll get them baptized. They'll make First Holy Communion. They'll wear the cute dress or the tuxedo. You know, they'll make it through confirmation. Of course they're going to be Catholic. Big deal. I'm Catholic. In his mind, he's Catholic. He made all of those steps. What you need to do is sit down in your own personal prayer time when you're all alone in the quiet and picture what you want your family life to really look like. What are the Catholic traditions that you want to make sure you're celebrating in your family? What will your daily prayer life as a family look like? Will he be leading prayer? Will you be leading prayer? How much will you be with the kids?
And what you need to say to him.
Start presenting that idea to him.
And what you need to say to him then is that I do want to raise the children Catholic, but I want to do it differently than we were raised. I want to raise them in a way that helps them fall in love with Jesus and fall in love with the church. And I'd like to find ways that we can do that too. Would you be willing to do that with me? Because if you just say, oh, I'd like to raise the kids Catholic, it's exactly what Lisa was saying. There's this sort of, oh, yeah, sure, fine, whatever. You know, we can, you know, pop into church Christmas and Easter and, you know, whatever. We'll do our bit. But you're really saying that you want to have a family that's in love with Jesus and in love with his church. And I think that would be the way to put it to him. And then to lay out some of the ideas that Lisa is throwing out here.
So then he can get a picture of it. Because he has no picture of Catholicism except
the
one that his parents raised him with. Their gifts under a tree at Christmas time. You probably went to church at Easter. Maybe you even went once a week, but you're probably fighting halfway there and probably arguing after you went home and nothing really changed. And it was just something you did rather than somebody you were. And so you really need to think about when you say, oh, you want a marriage like Greg and mine. Well, there's something you're hearing every day because you're not living in my house. You don't know what my marriage is exactly
like.
What is it that's speaking to you? Sit down and really ask the Holy Spirit. When you hear whatever it is that is speaking to your heart from the Holy Spirit through what you're hearing on this show, what is it that you want? And then really write it down so that you can communicate that with your husband and see. If he starts to be receptive, that's when you start reading books like For Better Forever, which is our marriage book, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage. You start reading Parenting with Grace way before the kids come along. You start really looking into doing prayer routines with each other every night. Perhaps even now, as you're trying to, you know, conceive your first child, praying together that you would have a wonderful family that's holy together and that God would open your hearts as well as your home to your children. And all of those things together, so that you can start putting those pieces into place. Now, if you present this to him and suddenly your fears are actually, you know, notify, you know, they come
realized.
Up, they realize, thank you, they come up and you say, oh my gosh, he really doesn't want to have anything to do with this, or he did kind of act in a brusque way, or he did say, you know, just talk to the hand, I don't want to have anything to do with this. Mm-hmm. Then you give us a call and we start talking through the steps about how to reach out to him.
But the first
when
step
he's
is
contrary
the
to
first
it.
Step is really working to get out of your own way, and don't be afraid. You know, be not afraid. That was John Paul II's cry to the world. Do be not afraid, and don't fear stepping out in faith and just saying, you know, husband, I love you so much, and I want to create a family with you that is really in love with Jesus and in love with his church. And here are some of the things that I'd like to do. I don't want to overwhelm you with this. I mean, this is all new to me, too. But
and you can even say to him, I'm really scared to even present this to you because I know it may sound a little strange. Because I've been taught that it sounds strange to talk about this stuff. But could you try to hear me out, even if it sounds a little strange?
So take it one step at a time, Sarah. We're going to add your family to our Heart, Mind, and Strength prayer list here, and we are going to be asking our Heart, Mind, and Strength prayer warriors to keep you and your husband in their prayers today, and all couples who are in a similar situation. And if there's anything we can do to support you or encourage you, you know where to find us. Please
Thank
do get in touch
so
with
much.
Us again. God bless you, Sarah. Thanks so much for the call.
Okay.
I'm always touched when people call in and say that they are ministered as much or ministered to as much by what we say as the witness of our marriage. I'm deeply, deeply touched by that. I just want to share this with all of our listeners, that if you hear anything that's good in our relationship, it's all God.
It's all God.
It is all
God. And it
God.
Is. It's a beautiful marriage, and it's authentic. You know, there's nothing we can fake here on the air. If we couldn't stand each other, it would show just as much as
No, no, it's all
know.
Real, but it's all God.
It's all God. Everything, our marriage, thanks be to God, was founded on God from day one, and he's seen us through the ups and the downs. Everything that the vows say were going to come our way came our way. The sickness and the health certainly came our way in big ways, the sickness.
The poorer,
you know, the
and the richer.
The poorer came in big ways. You know, all of it, the good
More
times
the poorer,
and the bad. And it's been God and our prayer life together, and the fact that we know that God wants us together, so even on the days that things go really awry, we can take a deep breath and say a prayer together and say, we love each other. And we love God, and God loves us, and with his grace, we can figure out the answer to whatever it is that's making us angry or not working out right now. And he always gives us the grace to get through it because he's faithful and he's in the marriage with us. So start bringing God into your marriage, no matter what phase of your marriage you're in. The benefits are just huge.
All right, listen, we have to take a break right now, but when we come back, we are continuing to take your calls. Our toll-free number is 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. If you've got some comments or encouragement for our previous caller, we'd love to hear from you. If you're in a situation where, you know, you came into the faith and your spouse wasn't so sure, but you guys went through it together, and somehow, step by step, the Lord led you into a deeper appreciation of it. If you're struggling and you want some encouragement, we'd love to hear from you. If you want to take this in an entirely different direction, we are here for you, too. 877-573-7825, our email address.
radio@exceptionalmarriages.com.
Stick around more after these messages.
This program made possible in part by the Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The Ave Maria Mutual Fund family is designed for investors who are looking for financially sound investments in companies that adhere to the core teachings of the Catholic Church. Ave Maria Funds offer well-diversified investment portfolios that choose only companies that do not support abortion, pornography, or non-marital partner benefits. Every stock and bond must meet strict financial criteria set by the portfolio managers and analysts at Schwartz Investment Counsel. For more information or an investor's kit, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA or AveMariaFunds.com.
Performance data quoted represents past performance, which is no guarantee of future results. Investment return and principal value are historical and may fluctuate so that the redemption value may be worth more or less the original cost. Prospective investors should read the prospectus carefully and consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses carefully before investing. The prospectus, which can be obtained by calling 1-866-AVE-MARIA or online at AveMariaFund.com, contains this and other information. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
In 2004, Father Benedict Rochelle led a parish mission at Holy Spirit Church in Brecon, Michigan.
Reform now. To turn this around is going to take 30 years. Catholics have to go back to being a minority group, and the media is pushing us into being a minority group. We'll be much smaller. but we can be much more cohesive. But let's be real Catholics. The church is the people. If you really believe that, then the responsibility is yours to do it respectfully, responsibly, seriously, and effectively.
This is Henry Root, your host for Putting On the Mind of Christ. He was still weak and recovering from his automobile accident, but he could still teach. He still did not pull any punches. It's classic Father Groeschel. We continue our series this week on our program. Listen to Putting on the Mind of Christ this Sunday afternoon at 3, encoring Saturday afternoons at 6 on 990 WDEL, 1440 WMAX, and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
Welcome back. You're listening to Heart, Mind, and Strength. I'm your host, Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Gregory Popchak, and we are taking your calls right now. Our toll-free number is 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. If you can't get to the phone, you can always shoot us an email.
The address is radio@exceptionalmarriages.com.
But we do love hearing your voice, so if you can, pick up the phone and give us a call. We would love to hear from, well, you. Yes, even you.
Definitely
877-573-7825. Before we go to your calls, though, it's time for Letters from Home, where we take a brief look at the writings of a brother or a sister in the Lord who's gone before us as a way of encouraging us on our journey toward our heavenly home. Well, today's letter comes to us from St. Francis de Sales, who writes, "What advantage is it to us if the whole world enjoys profound peace, but we are at war with ourselves? This, then, is the peace we should strive to keep. If we have it, nothing from outside of us will ever be able to harm us. But if we're disturbed inside, even when everything around us is at rest, we are miserable creatures indeed." St. Francis de Sales is reminding us of the importance of cultivating that sense of inner peace, the peace beyond all understanding that we pray for at the beginning of every episode of Heart, Mind, and Strength, because if we are not at peace with ourselves, then nothing will ever be right enough, no matter how well things go in our daily lives. With that, let's return to your calls at 877-573-7825. Lisa, who's on deck?
We're going to Eddie in Boston, Greg, listening on the Internet.
Is it Eddie or Edie?
Is it Edie?
It's Edie.
Yes, it's Edie. I'm
Hello,
sorry
Edie.
About that.
That's
welcome
okay.
To the program.
Everybody does it.
I apologize. I only see it printed out, and I look too quickly. I apologize
What can we
that.
Do for you, Edie?
Not a problem. I just had some advice for your previous caller.
Uh-huh.
I found myself in the same kind of boat, not knowing how to approach my husband about, you know, praying together.
Yeah.
And we did, what I did was I made it real easy on myself, and I started off with just saying, you know, I really would like to say grace before and after meals.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a real easy way to sort of lead into it. And then, you know, we should pray for this person that we know and sort of ease your way into it. You know, let's say a quick prayer for this individual. And those kinds of, like, small things. And it leads you to saying and feeling comfortable with saying, I really would like to do a rosary together.
I think that's a lovely idea. I mean, and that's the thing. You got to start small. You know, sometimes whenever we come into the faith, we become so excited about it, so turned on by it. We want to just do everything all at once. And all of a sudden, our spouse is looking at us like, what? What Jesus freak train did you fall off of?
And not only that, but they say, you know, what train did you fall off of? But very often we get from our spouse of either gender, I'm going to lose my spouse to their new love, which is Christ. And they get very frightened that somebody else, this new guy, has come into your life, even if that new guy is God, and they're somehow not going to hold as important a place in your heart anymore. And so you do get that resistance sometimes.
Sure.
You're talking about stepping into it sounds much more, when you're speaking to your spouse, as though you're saying, well, honey, I know you're right there with me. I trust that you're mature enough to handle this. Let's just kind of do it together. So you're speaking to them more as an equal than as going down to them and saying, I know you're not going to like this very much, but...
No, it's important.
Yeah, it is important. And, I mean, you talk about, you know, like not coming from it on the same level. My poor husband was terrified because we work together and I handle all the books for the company. So he immediately became terrified that I'm just becoming so religious because we were going broke. So you have to sort of wade your way through slowly and carefully and pace
the trenches,
yourself.
Huh? Yeah.
Or heaven forbid, not only that, but you could turn into one of those saints who give away all the money.
Yes.
So where are you now? Do you feel like you've made some strides with your husband and you've
absolutely,
got...
Absolutely, yeah.
That's beautiful.
You know, we almost always make sure we pray, before our meals and stuff. And we always will pray for, you know, friends and relatives, you know, together when we find out something's gone wrong or, you know, you see some tremendous, awful thing on television. And we have in drives, taking long drives, started to say rosaries.
There you go.
When, you know, there's nothing on the radio. It's like, well, let's say a rosary or the Divine Mercy Chaplet.
Excellent. Well, bringing more of your life to your prayer is so important. You know, again, as I was saying before the break, if anybody ever hears anything good in our marriage, it's not because of us. I'll tell you that. It's because of God and what He's been able to do in our relationships, because we keep going to Him and saying, Lord, teach us how to love. You know,
exactly.
You're the master. You're the one you are the author of love. We don't know from nothing about love.
Exactly.
So you tell us what it is that you want us to do with each other.
Yeah.
And by bringing all the little events of everyday life, all the big decisions of everyday life, all the things that you were just talking about to God and asking Him to teach you how to deal with it as a couple and as a family, He really does do some amazing work, in everybody's heart. And Edie, I want to thank you for calling up and witnessing to that.
Well, thank you.
Sarah,
and
today.
I second her opinion that I want to model my marriage on what I hear.
Oh,
and
God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you.
And I know that
keep
there's
trying
rocks
to stay
on the road.
The Holy Spirit, so we don't ever disappoint you.
Thank
well,
you
but
so
if
much.
We ever disappoint you, it's us that's disappointing.
That's
not
right.
God.
It's never the Holy Spirit. We just have to keep our hearts and minds open.
All right, with that, let's go to our next caller, Lisa, who's up now.
We're heading out to Clara in Texas, Greg.
Hey there, Clara. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you.
Sure
First
thing.
First time I call in. I have a kind of a complicated situation. A 23-year-old daughter, oldest. She was problematic through high school, drugs, alcohol. I got her into a therapist last year, trying to get her, you know, abuse of drugs and alcohol curbed. And
the board says that she's also got a diagnosis of bipolar.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, but that came later. We didn't know that.
Oh, okay.
It was. She went off to college, and after a year and a half in college where, you know, I had spoken to the counselors on school, I was very upfront about it because I was concerned, as they were, to have, you know, somebody coming in that could be unstable to the, you know, college community,
yeah.
Although they were very open about the fact that in college things can be, you know, they can't protect children from anything, and they're going to be exposed and everything is going to be available to them. So I wanted to have her somewhat stabilized before she went, and indications seemed to be that she was going to pull it together. But then one day I got a call from the hospital in the town where the college was, which is fortunately only an hour drive away from here, and she had a psychotic episode, and, you know, from there went to, you know, the psychiatry ward. I brought her back down home.
How long ago was this now?
This was 2.5 years ago.
Oh,
so this
okay.
was a year and a half into college. At that point, they asked me if there was a history of bipolar in the family. I said no. If she had been diagnosed before, no. So we thought it was drug-induced psychosis. As a result of that, and with wonderful therapists, she ended up, going through rehab, and she has been actually sober and very active in an AA program. It'll be 3 years coming this January. So
okay.
I'm extremely proud of her. During that period, these 3 years of sobriety, it has been a matter of getting her to be productive and get her feedback on the ground. Of course, she wasn't going to school. She had to
now,
drop
I don't want
out.
To rush you, but I also need to get to your question because
yeah.
we do have some
well,
time considerations.
Well, right now, she finally got to the point where I said, you know, you've done good. I will, you know, pay for everything school-wise,
mm-hmm.
apartment, you know, everything so she could get
well,
to her therapy.
Her, yeah.
At this point, she now has had so many parking, I mean, speeding tickets and accidents with a car that I'm concerned. Hmm. So I've suggested that she needs to move to an apartment in walking distance to the college that we, you know, will furnish and get ready for her and change her therapist. And she is putting up a lot of resistance to that. She says, you know, what she needs to stay sober is have her same therapist, her psychiatrist, which I offered. I will have a car go pick you up and take you to your psychiatrist meetings, you know, because those occur only once
a
month.
Is this therapist a new person or something? Or
she's a therapist that she's had, I would say, for the last year. And it's a new therapist. After she was diagnosed as bipolar, mm-hmm. and she has just recently, she says on her account, been able to make some breakthroughs, really opening up, and so she just is resisting any change. But it is an hour drive for her to get to this therapist once a week, mm-hmm. and I'm concerned with all the, you know,
The car accidents.
This is the third car I've gotten her, and she's had four wrecks already. I mean, right now it's in the shop. And she's I just don't think it's a good idea.
I mean, I appreciate that she's found a therapist that she's working well with, and I certainly would never want to do anything to jeopardize that progress, but you're right. I mean, she could get into a situation where she causes, you know, she either kills or hurts somebody else or herself, for that matter, with the fact that she's not doing so well with this car situation. I think you're well within your rights to set those kinds of limits, and if she's bucking you to say, look, you know, honey, I don't want to... you know, I don't want to do a power play here, but I'm, for your own safety, you're not demonstrating that responsibility.
Right.
So, you know, you're just going to need to do this because I'm not going to be able to continue to support you if you don't.
Okay, I needed that reassurance because obviously with everything else going on, there is the, you know, she'll play the manipulation game, which she knows from years past, from, you know, the addiction years.
Oh, sure.
And she does it well, but I'm holding my ground here and I wanted a second opinion.
No, I think you're on the right track. I mean, it is scary, but honestly, you know, her safety has to take precedence over her progress in therapy. You know, if she's wrapped around a tree, then no therapist is going to be able to help her.
Exactly.
So I think you're absolutely right.
Wonderful. Well, I appreciate your counsel.
My pleasure.
And Clara, want to really applaud your commitment to your child and how loving and wonderful and responsible you're being in working through her with all of these issues that she's having to carry on her shoulders. And just we thank God for people like you who are such dedicated mothers.
All right. God bless you, Clara. With that, we have just a couple minutes left. We wanted to take one more caller before we go to break. Lisa, who's on deck?
We're going to go to Stephanie in Michigan, Greg.
Hey there, Stephanie. Welcome to the program. As I said, we only have a couple minutes before we have to go to break, but what can we do for you today?
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. Actually, thing.
I called a couple weeks ago concerning my husband and I's 5-month-old son.
Yeah.
Okay. And he had changed sleep patterns for the last month and a half or so now.
If I could ask you to speak up just a little bit, though.
Oh, sure. I'll try to go into the other room.
Okay.
Baby is finally asleep, I think.
No. Well, that's the problem.
Okay.
He's not sleeping much. He's very cranky. It doesn't matter if I'm holding him. I do a lot of carrying him around the house.
Mm-hmm.
Except when he's on the floor playing and getting some exercise. But he cries and fusses a lot.
As well now?
Yes.
Okay.
A lot. You know, not all day, but just just before I got on the phone, he was fussing and I put him down. And I hate doing that, but you see, sometimes he's happier when I do, so I just do that. And sometimes he screams then, too. But he's not sleeping well through the night. He doesn't seem to be going through any kind of growth spurt that we can tell. He's not growing out of his clothes, you know, in a crazy
manner.
And
you're not seeing any teeth crowning.
Nope. Him. And this has been going on for about a month and a half. You did suggest that we try the homeopathic tablets.
Yeah.
We've done
because
those.
They were
We've
teeth.
Done it with Tylenol. He's off his sleep.
And if it's been a month and they were teeth, you would have seen something that told you they were teeth by now.
Yeah.
The only other thing we can think of right now is allergies. Clearly.
I've even changed my diet to try to kick out the dairy as much as possible.
Yeah, but it might not be dairy.
Might not be dairy. It might be something else.
There's a great book out there that I think would help you. It's
called Is This Your Child? By Doris Rapp. R-A-P-P. Dr. Doris Rapp wrote a book called Is This Your Child? What she focuses on are behavioral symptoms of allergies.
Because most normal allergies, allergy doctors that you would go and see where they would just do the, you know, prick skin rash test on your child, don't look for the kind of behavioral reactions that don't come up, erupt on the skin that you're seeing, that you could be seeing in your child. We've gone down this road with a person who actually taught us attachment parenting, who had children who had only behavioral reactions to different foods. They were not skin reactions. They were not sinus. They were not eczema. And she found Dr. Rabin, actually went to Dr. Rabin, had amazing results.
You know, the thing is, I mean, the reason we're going in this direction is because when you're talking about a five-month-old, you're not talking about psychological problems. You're not talking about manipulation. You're not talking about any of those kinds of, you're talking about physical discomfort. For some reason, this little one is unhappy and uncomfortable. There's some kind of physical distress that she's experiencing, he's experiencing, that's preventing him from just being at peace either a day or a night. And so that would be the next medical thing that I would check out if I were you. But get the book, Is This Your Child? By Doris Rapp. Take a look through there and see if there are any of the symptoms that match up with your child. And go to an allergist as well and get an actual allergy test to find out if there are any food or environmental allergies that might be coming into play here. And let us know what's going on, Stephanie. With that, we have to take a break right now. When we come back, with Dean Koenig-Bricker will be joining us to be talking about Advent and getting ready for it. Stick around. More after this.
Christopher Minutes. Thoughts on making every day count. Here's Dennis Haney.
When Denise Real's son, Scott, developed seizures and autism, she turned to prayer. Denise recalls, by praying for Scott, he wasn't necessarily being healed, but we, as a family, were being healed. The walls of self-sufficiency began to crumble, and I started to open my heart and home to others. In time, Denise gathered friends and supporters to establish Visitation Home in Yardville, New Jersey. The shared living residence welcomes people with developmental disabilities. With the help of assistants and volunteers, the residents learn to live like a family. One father said, "Up until now, every time I thought about my son's future, it was always with worry. For the first time, I can think about it with hope." Friends, we never know what path God has in mind for us, but we should know that He will never let us walk it alone. I'm Dennis Haney. God bless you.
You've heard Ken Town of Fellowship Home Lending talk about adjustable rate mortgages on the radio. Now get information 24/7 on the web, including calculators and a free insider mortgage report at fellowshiphomelending.com. Your schedule is crazy, and it's hard to call Ken during the day sometimes, but you can hear his mortgage wisdom and get valuable tools any time of the day or night at fellowshiphomelending.com. Get your answers right now at fellowshiphomelending.com.
Now, at two-thirds the retail price, the Ave Maria Radio online store has the 38 volumes of the Early Church Fathers, this invaluable primary resource for the scholar or student. The Early Church Fathers contain notes, references to scripture citations, to places, people, and theological issues. The Early Church Fathers has the most complete collections and writings in the church's first 800 years. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and find the online store to get this incredible deal. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
We're back, and you're listening to Heart, Mind, and Strength. I'm Dr. Gregory Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And that music means it's time for Smells and Bells with Wadeen Koenig-Bricker, where we take a look at saints and Catholic traditions. Wadeen, welcome to the program.
Hello, Greg. Hello, Lisa. Well, we're getting ready for Advent. We're approaching the Advent season, and
it's the Advent of Advent.
Yes, it's the Advent of Advent, and contrary to what the merchants are telling you, Advent does not mean shop until your bank account is exhausted and you drop from complete and utter fatigue.
Yay! That's good news.
I thought that was the Latin root of it.
People do tend to think that is the Latin root, but it's not. The Latin root of Advent means anticipation or waiting. And what we're doing is we're waiting with anticipation and hope for the birth of our Savior, the commemoration and the remembrance that our hope is coming. It is not a time for shopping. It's a time for preparation. Contrary also to what sometimes some very traditionalist people think, Advent is not a time to pretend that Christmas isn't coming, to ignore it. It's a time to really prepare.
It is a time to prepare. You know, I a good friend of mine was saying the other day, when you're pregnant, you don't ignore the fact that the baby's coming until the baby's in your arms. You know, you're painting the nursery, you're picking out the clothes, you're at least hope, you know, even if you're afraid to buy the furniture, you're at least looking around. there's that hope, that there's that anticipation, there's the planning, and there's the getting ready for.
Exactly, and that's what Advent is for. You're not supposed to be celebrating Christmas, but you can certainly start getting ready for it. One of the traditional things that would happen is that people would make their Christmas puddings during this time. Especially on the first or second Sunday of Advent, they would begin to stir up their Christmas puddings because it takes a few weeks for them to come together. One of the great traditions of Advent is the Advent wreath. Like a lot of traditions, its origins are sort of obscure. We don't know exactly where it came from, but we know that it probably had its roots in early Germanic tribes who used evergreen wreaths to symbolize eternity. The Advent wreath, with its circular shape, shows that God has no beginning and no end. The four candles are the 4 weeks that we wait in anticipation and hope and planning and preparation for Christmas. The color of purple is the color of royalty. It's also the color of penance, but not quite the same penance as we have during Lent. Very often the color purple that's used during Advent is a purple-blue, which has sort of that royal, you know, blue has the color of royalty and purple has the color of royalty. So it sort of has a combination of hope and royalty as well as sort of a penitential feel to it. In Lent, the color purple is usually a red purple, which is the combination of the sorrow of red and blood and a more sacrificial kind of penance. So we're really not supposed to be doing heavy-duty sacrificial penance during Advent. We're supposed to be doing sort of a preparatory cleansing, getting rid of excess, you know, preparing ourselves for the
party. Cleaning our hearts up for that wonderful baby that's coming into them. And at least once a week, please, light your Advent wreath as a family. Leave it as a centerpiece on your table. Darken the room. Have a family supper together with just the candlelights glowing. And find some of that peace and anticipation together as a family.
Well, Dean, thanks so much for highlighting this tradition for us and helping us to get ready for Advent. That's all the time we've got for today's program. Thank you so much for making this hour special for us. I hope that it was a blessing to all of you. But we can continue this conversation by coming on,
coming on over to our place.
Let me give you that address. It's www.exceptionalmarriages.com, where you can read excerpts from our books, take our quizzes, find out about the telephone counseling practice if you'd like more individual coaching, plus lots of other resources out there. Check it out, exceptionalmarriages.com. God bless. Talk to you tomorrow, everybody.
You've been listening to Heart, Mind, and Strength with Greg and Lisa Popcheck. Heart, Mind, and Strength is produced by Ave Maria Radio and is supported by the generosity of listeners like you. Tune in every weekday at noon, 11 Central, for more faith-filled answers to life's difficult questions on Heart, Mind, and Strength.
With your precious grace, everything I face, I will overcome with my heart, mind, and strength.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
Hi, this is Teresa Tomeo, host of Catholic Connection, and you know what? I can hardly believe it, but it's been 5 years since joining Ave Maria Radio. In honor of the 5-year anniversary of Catholic Connection, we're going to have a party, and you're invited. It will take place Thursday, December 6th from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. We'll broadcast live at one of our longest sponsors, the Michigan Catholic Credit Union branch in Troy. That's at 255 East Maple. Come on and join us live from 8 to 10. We'll have giveaways, lots of fun, refreshments, and Christmas fellowship. Hope to see you there.
The Ave Maria CD library continues to grow. To complement Father Ricardo's 17 CD set on the rite of Christian initiation for adults, we've repackaged his 8 CD series on the Ten Commandments. The 3-volume RCIA series is $125, and the Ten Commandments set is $68. The MP3 CDs are $70 and $30, respectively. All editions of Christ in the Afternoon, Catholic Connection, Putting on the Mind of Christ, The Doctor is In, and Heart, Mind, and Strength are also available. All single talks and programs are on high-quality CDs and are $8.50 each. To place your order for one of these talks or to inquire about a talk topic of interest to you, call 734-930-4506. 734-930-4506 or write orders at AveMariaRadio.net.